The Eagles are going into the bye week at 500 and are making some major moves to improve their team. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone, everybody. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumberry. Yeah, Becky, one of those moves on defense is Todd Bowles is now the new defensive coordinator. Juan Castillo is out. We're going to talk a lot about that and what that means to the players.
And John Dorenbos later in the show and chances with his presence, as well as some magic tricks.
Oh, magician and long snapper John Dorenbos. Look forward to that. Also, bracket breakdown time. We're getting close to the Sweet 16 as you choose the greatest Eagle of all time.
All here on Eagles Green Zone.
We kick off Eagles Green Zone as usual with first and 10 as we analyze what happened and what lies ahead for the 3-3 Eagles as they enter the bye week. And hello, I'm Bob Bumberry, joined by former player Dan Klecko and NFL insider Adam Kaplan. Guys, 3-3 in the bye. Adam, is this where you expected the Eagles to be at this point in the season?
Guys, I would probably say 4-2. You know, you could pick and choose which games you thought you were right and wrong, but I thought they'd be 4-2. Despite all the controversy and up and down, you know what? They're a game out of first place. It's not the worst thing in the world, but I would take this first six games and say this team should be way better than they were. Are they better than the team from last year? Probably at this time, yes, but this team should be way better. They're not quite as good as I thought they'd be, to be honest.
No, I'd agree with everything Adam said. I thought they'd be 4-2 at this point. I did think they'd go out to Arizona and win. I thought they'd lose to Baltimore, and I thought they'd lose to Pittsburgh, but I look at them. It's 3-3. It's not the end of the world. You're still a game out, like Adam said. You're right there. But it's the way it's looked the last couple weeks. That's the cause for concern right now.
Juan Castillo is out. Todd Bowles is promoted from defensive backs coach to the new defensive coordinator. What's the first immediate impact of this?
I think this sends a message to the locker room. This is the way I would look at it. Hey, we just got a guy fired. That's the way I would look at it. And it kind of takes the little bit of untouchableness off of everybody. Everybody has to walk in that locker room a little bit more humble, knowing they have to do a little bit more.
Well, let's just focus on the defense for a moment, because the defense is better than the defense at this point last season. They are markedly improved. Were you surprised that Castillo was let go at this point? Did that shock you when you heard about this?
Well, just when you look at the stats, okay, when I found out about it earlier this week, I look at the numbers like, okay, they're not giving up a lot of points and yards, but as you know, he's a player. Coaches always talk about negative plays. We want negative plays. How do you get them? Sacks and turnovers. Eagles combined are in the bottom three in negative plays created. That's how you win.
All right, so what should we expect with Todd Bowles? Tell us a little bit about him. We know he was an interim coach with the Dolphins last three games of last season. Temple guy. What changes is he going to institute in this team, in this defense?
I think they're going to blitz, okay? He coached under Mike Nolan, who loves to blitz. Zone stuff, he'll mix it up. Then, of course, Wade Phillips, who's one of the best D coordinators in the last 25 years. So I think he's going blitz, and I think there'll be some disguise because he knows how to do it because he's worked with guys who can do it. And you see what Mike Nolan's doing in Atlanta is simply phenomenal with the same talent they had in Atlanta last season. So I think the blitz percentage will go way up, and I think they'll disguise. And you're going to see this talent level finally be used the right way. I for whatever reason, and Dan talked about it, I have no idea why they're so vanilla. It's crazy with this talent level. Michael Kendricks, 13 sacks in college. You sent him on a double-A gap blitz. You let this guy go up the middle. Where's the exotic stuff? The Meeba stuff, not knowing when you're at offense what's going to be thrown at you. When you don't know, you cause hesitation.
And especially with this defense right now, they're smart enough where they could change game plan from week to week and change their scheme from week to week. I mean, even come out, I don't think they have the personnel for it, but come out in like a 3-4. Give people different looks. Get people thinking that you never know what the Eagles are going to come out in.
Right.
Can Todd do that? Yeah, I think he can. I think you saw it in Miami. They bounced in and out of a 3-4. They blitzed from all over the place. A couple years ago, you remember how nasty that defense was. I think Cameron Wake had 15 sacks, I think, a couple years ago. You can see that again.
Yeah, 10 games left, 3-3 in the bye. They still have some time. They still have some time to right the ship. You know, when we talk about the offense now, what they got to fix on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, are we just sort of, you know, going around here talking about the same thing? I mean, what needs to be done here? What can be done in this extra time here, Dan, to kind of right this?
First of all, it's turnovers. I don't know how Mike fixes that. That just has to be something, you know, he's not going out there thinking, hey, I'm going to turn the ball over. That's just something Mike has to be conscious of. That's something he really has to take ownership of. And then I've said it, I think, on this show for the last 3 weeks and probably the last year, it's time to start running this offense through the best running back in the NFL, bar none, in my opinion.
All right, Adam and Dan, thank you very much. And as we do every week on Eagles Green Zone, we take a closer look at one of the Eagles off the field. This time, Becky has more with John Dornbos.
We have a very special interview for you today because John Dornbos is in the studio with us. Turn around, please.
That would be me.
John, you were just not only the long snapper for the Eagles, but you were an Emmy Award-winning TV host for the Eagles Television Network, The Player Show. I'm not going to lie, I feel kind of undermatched. I mean, you have an Emmy, I don't. I'm feeling kind of self-conscious.
I'm overrated. I'll be honest, ETN and everybody associated with the shows that I've been a part of make me look way better than I really am, because the bloopers is actually, it shows exactly how bad I really am. So I thank these guys for bringing out the best in me.
That's great.
You're in good hands. You're in good company. You're in good company.
You've interviewed tons of players, locker room baseball, locker room golf. I mean, what's been your favorite moment so far?
Oh, my favorite moment would probably be taking DeSean Jackson yard off a hanging curveball, then bringing in Asante as my middle reliefer to strike out DeSean, to watch him walk the walk of shame back to his locker, where I still remain undefeated. Locker room golf was cool, but I got schooled. You know, Mike actually can play golf. You know, he's got a good swing, so that was actually a giant mistake. Here's the thing. If you ever host a show and you're going to do something, always do something that you know you're going to win.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? And then the key is to degrade the person you're interviewing. Like, they're not, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's one-sided. You got to keep it one-sided, and then they beat me, and it's just, the whole thing was just a disaster.
Like, I could probably take you in bowling.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why, because I hate bowling. I pick up a bowling ball and my wrist hurts, my elbow hurts. I'm like the guy that's trying to do curveballs between my legs. Although I did bowl a strike, jumping over the bumpers into the other lane and hit a strike on the other lane.
Really? Did you catch air?
No big deal.
Did you catch air?
Air caught me.
You perform on a big stage every Sunday as a long snapper and as a professional magician performing on the Las Vegas Strip and in Hollywood. How does that compare to being a magician, to being a football player?
You know, my job is very, very redundant, very repetitive. You snap 8 yards, you snap 15 yards, and there's a few variables in between, but the gist of it is very repetitive. And in magic, when I first got involved in it, that's what I loved about the close-up side and cards and pickpocketing is it's very choreographed, but there's a lot of room for interpretation. So when you get the basic skills and the fundamentals, then it's up to your personality to really determine who you are as a performer. So I feel the same as in snapping that, you know, once you get the basic fundamentals, now it's up to you to basically try and make the position look masculine and manly. You know what I mean? So, like, when I'm out there, you actually have some respect for some people. You know what I mean? So, I like pressure. I love it. I like being on stage. I like doing a trick where it can either go good or bad real quick. And I like snapping game-winning field goals. I like pressure. I take a lot of pride that a lot of people in the city and in the organization decided to call my number, you know, as well as the field goal team if we kick a game-winning field goal, and have faith in what we've prepared for and how we've gotten to that point. And they say, hey, go do your thing.
Stay tuned as John Dornbos gives us a sneak preview of his magic act right after the break.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
This is going to be
good. Well, one thing is awesome is that this is a 50% off coupon from CVS dated 12/31/1995.
Well, that's how often I do magic myself. I know, old school.
It's a great deck. Here, just pull one out. All right, you got it. Look at it. Tell you what, show the camera. Okay. You know what I didn't do, and it's something that you should always do in doing a trick.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the cards are different, blah, 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 blah. Okay, good.
What is your card?
I'm supposed to tell you?
It helps me out.
Nine of spades.
Okay, let me see it. Nine of spades. All right, this might be kind of tough, but here's what we're going to try and do. We're going to cut these up, and you're just going to touch a card. Okay, so just touch one. All right, pull it out. Check it out. It should look familiar. What is it?
Ace of spades.
Let me see it. So here's what we have. We have an ace. Spades, which actually means this too. If you just kind of shake over here, see, then we can find that two. Perfect. If you cover the king right here, you can just tap it. Oh, look, there's three.
Awesome. We'll go here. And now you're going to pick a card out, but now you're not going to look at it. Okay, so pull one out. Don't look at it. You got it? What is it? Well, I guess you can look at it. It makes it easier, I guess. Okay. I'll look at it, too. It's a nine of hearts. Now, notice this. There's no card in my hand. All right, but if we take the nine and just give it a shake, watch this. If you take the nine and shake it, that's when we can get the four. So now we found the ace, two, three, four, like that. Here, we could actually just get this guy out. Hopefully, we can find a five.
That's a five.
Yeah, that's a five. Six, seven, and eight, it's a little harder to find, so we'll start here. We'll go, well, there's the eight, the seven, and the six. So basically, what we're doing is we're just trying to find the spades one at a time from a shuffled deck. You don't really care.
I messed up
because this one was in the pocket. See, there's the 10. I don't know where that came from. Again, just how about this? Just reach and pull one out. Perfect. Go ahead and look at it.
I pulled two.
Oh my gosh. What do we have here? Look, we have a six and a five. Now, the six, you pulled two cards out.
Yeah.
You didn't realize it, but you pulled two cards, which is fine because if you take the two, give it a snap and come inside, you'll actually sandwich two cards between the two. So because you picked two, I thought I'd find two. And there's the jack and the queen between those two. And I think we have one left. This one's really hard to find. Let me see if I can. No, that's the jack. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Here's a lot of. I don't know where these came from. What are we looking for? The only card left in the hand is the king. There's the last king. And then this is the hardest trick. You just you breathe in really hard and it sticks to your, see, it like sticks to you like that. And then it's gone.
Oh my gosh.
It's an amazing trick.
That was amazing.
Hey, 12 years of my life, 20 years I've been working on magic. If you just do this to like a 5-year-old, they go nuts.
That's the best part.
Like, it's the sticky trick to the forehead. And they're like, they just do this for 3 hours and then there's your kid show. You don't have to do anything else. You just go, kid, look. Bam, done. That's all you need to do.
John Dornbos in the studio. Check you out next time.
It is bracket breakdown time here on Eagles Green Zone as we search for the greatest Eagle of all time, of course, with your help by voting at philadelphiaeagles.com/vote. And we already have our first four players in the Sweet 16. And here with the big board is Dan Klecko and Adam Kaplan to look at the winners.
Thanks, Bob. And Adam, I think this is where it's starting to get easy now. Now, we're going to talk about one upset, but mostly you're going to start going with the chalk now. And the first one, Reggie versus Troy Vincent. Hey, look, I love Troy, but I keep saying week after week, to me, Reggie White was the greatest Eagle of all time. We go right here. I think this is what leads me to think there are a lot of young voters out there right now. Sheldon Brown over Tom Brookshire. What do you think about that one, Adam?
You know, Sheldon Brown in the Andy Reid era years ago was very good, but Tom Brookshire is one of the greatest Eagles in history, I mean, of the franchise. I don't think there's any question about that. That one, to me, that's a huge upset. In an NCAA tournament, a 4 being the 12. Or 12 beating a 4 is a surprise to me. I'm with you. I think the youngins,
the youngins pick that one. Yeah. These are our picks right here, Chuck and Mike. 4 versus 5, Mike Quick, Eric Allen. This one a little tight, I don't know how it's going to go. We both picked Mike, obviously another guy whose career got cut short. Could have been another Hall of Famer. Eric Allen, maybe Hall of Famer, borderline. I mean, you tell us about that one, too.
Very close. I mean, I think this thing is very even. Mike Quick with Ron Jaworski, in the mid-80s, late, and then after draws left with Randall. Terrific. One of the best receivers in Eagles history, and Eric Allen, one of the best corners in Eagles history. That's a tough call. That's a toss-up. To me, I think Quick gets it, but it's close.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Mike's name obviously here, Eric on ESPN. So we'll see, though. Randall Cunningham versus Norm Van Brocklin. Look, I know there's a lot of people love Randall in this city.
Yeah.
But when you have that Hall of Fame next to your name, that's a big deal to me. I've said that in the past.
Yeah, the Dutchman you're talking about the 1960 quarterback in the championship game. I mean, he is the guy. Randall, ton of upside, never became the quarterback that many of us thought he would be, but he came close but never got there.
Yeah, and too bad he did it in another place.
That's right.
But Bob, that's it for this week. It's going to start to get fun now. We're going to start to whittle this thing down and see who is the best Eagle of all time.
Yeah, Dan, you're not kidding. Dan Klecko and Adam Kaplan with our bracket breakdown this week as we search for the greatest Eagle of all time. Remember, you still have time to vote as we get close to the Sweet 16, philadelphiaeagles.com/vote. Well, the Eagles are in their bye week. You looking for something to do? E-Rock has an idea for you.
The bye week stinks. God, I hate the bye week. I mean, it's great for the players. They get to go home and rest, go home and see their families. But what are we supposed to do? The fans. It just messes up our entire football Sunday routine. Well, don't worry, Eagles fans. E-Rock's got 10 ways to pass the time on bye week Sunday. Number 10, spend more time with your wife. What? on a football Sunday? There's got to be something in the vows against that. Sickness and in health, death do us part. Ah, there it is. Do not bug me on football Sunday. Number 9, hit the gym. Go on a treadmill. You've been eating too much of that tailgate food. You're starting to look like Tony Siragusa. Number 8. Go to the dentist. What, on a Sunday? Hey, trust me, if your dentist is an Eagles fan, he or she will be open on this Sunday. Number 7, call your mother.
Why don't you call on Sundays anymore?
Oh, come on, Ma, it's football season, leave me alone. Number 6, go to the barbershop, get a haircut, and do us a favor and shave. The Evan Mathis look only looks good on Evan Mathis. Number 5, go Halloween shopping with the kids. Because trust me, nothing looks cooler than a grown man in an Elmo costume. Number 4, prank call Howard Eskin's house and see how many times he calls you a nitwit, a moron, or a genius in 90 seconds. The over-under is 7. My personal best is 9. Number 3, take a cooking class. It's about time you learned how to make something else other than grilled cheese. Number 2, logging on to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote and voting for your favorite Eagle on Bracket Breakdown. And the number 1 way to pass the time during bye week Sunday is to watch football. Sure, it ain't the Eagles, but you can always have fun watching the Cowboys, the Giants, or the Redskins lose. So enjoy the bye week, Eagles fans, but I will see you right back here next week at Lincoln Financial Field.
Smash mouth collisions typically happen on defense, but it's this offensive hit that Keith Byers put on Pepper Johnson is one that went down in Eagles history. With that, we give you Prior to the Snap.
In a rivalry that dates back to the 1930s, the Eagles and Giants have had many memorable plays, but there was one moment between Keith Byers and Pepper Johnson in 1990 that made the Eagles burn a timeout to watch the replay again. It was week 12, and the Giants came to town with an undefeated record of 10-0. The Eagles had gotten off slowly at 2-4, but had a 4-game winning streak going themselves. Randall Cunningham had the offense running on all cylinders, but the Giants' defense had allowed only 24 points in their previous 4 games. New York opened the scoring with a touchdown in the first quarter. The Eagles would answer as rookie wide receiver Fred Barnett hauled in a 49-yard touchdown pass from Cunningham to tie it at 7. 4 minutes into the second quarter, the Eagles are driving in Giants territory. On first down at the Giants' 38-yard line, Cunningham dropped back and looked to pass. With no one open, he started to run down the sideline and look for blockers. As he pointed out Pepper Johnson, Keith Byers entered the picture and absolutely de-cleated him. The stadium erupted for the huge hit and 18-yard gain. The replays on the screen in the stadium actually distracted the Eagles enough that they had to use a timeout to see it again. Fortunately for Johnson, he was not injured on the hit by Byers, who was in fact a good friend and college teammate of Johnson's at Ohio State. Johnson was even the best man when Byers got married. That hit set the tone for the rest of the game as Cunningham would finish the drive with a 1-yard touchdown run. The Giants would score again to cut the lead to 1 before halftime, but the Eagles' defense would shut them out in the second half. A Roger Ruzek field goal was the only scoring in the third quarter to stretch the lead to 4. The Eagles put the game away in the fourth, however, when fellow rookie wide receiver Calvin Williams scored off a deflected pass intended for Barnett. Byron Evans sealed the deal with this 23-yard interception return for a touchdown off Phil Sims. It's usually a big hit from the defense which sets the tone for a game, but this time it was an offensive player who had guys looking over their shoulder the rest of the day.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
You know, Bob, as this bracket breakdown continues, there's starting to be some pretty interesting matchups here.
Oh, Becky, we got some all-time matchups. Amazing quarterbacks, Hall of Famers, icons from the past. I'm looking forward to it as we continue the bracket breakdown, searching for the greatest Eagle of all time, Vote at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote.
You can also get exclusive content and the latest breaking news on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. For Bob Bumbara and Becky Brensinger, thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Hey. I'm John Dornbos. I'm actually going to answer my first question from... I'm going to do the turn, because it's never been done before. And I'm setting records, making trends. This interview should be called The Turnaround. Welcome to The Turnaround.